Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Happy Monday, all. It's the 30th of January. I'm Pete Donaldson, and this is the Luke and Pete Show. But where's the Luke compliment of that particular situation? Here he is. He's in his room. Hello,
here
Luke,
I
in
am.
Your room.
Here I am. How do you do?
Oh, what was that now?
That was the Little Finger song, wasn't it, when you were a kid?
Oh, yes.
Tommy
I thought
Thumb.
It was like, I thought you were singing Hello. Remember the Hello Johnny song?
I can't,
do you remember Hello Johnny? What? It was like a man with a moustache. Hello Johnny song. And it was like, that's not helped. I don't think it was Hello Johnny now, because I think Ween wrote a song called Hello Johnny, and the cover is...
This is an absolutely brilliant example of someone who's coming to this show for the first time, what to expect.
What's the Hello Sun song? It was like, Hello, and he had a little moustache. It was a song for kids, and he had, and the man and the dad had a little moustache, and he was from Central CGI Casting, and he went, and he was talking about, I think, telling his kid not to eat so much food. Don't eat so much food, he was saying.
That was that too much sugar-free licorice today.
Hello Sun food song. No, that's not it either.
So
someone
anyway,
will find it. Anyway,
while Pete slowly unravels, the song I was doing was, it's like you did a different fingers on the hand. So Tommy Thumb,
yeah.
Peter Pointer,
right.
Policeman Tall was the middle one.
Yeah.
Ruby
one
Ring
the
was the third finger. And then Baby Small was the little finger.
Baby what?
Small.
Baby Small.
And you sing it to like a baby or whatever to let
that's
them know
adorable.
About their fingers.
That's very cute.
I don't know where it came from. I just thought of it and I just sang it. I don't know why.
Hello, Johnny. It was. He had a quite a thick kind of sort of South Asian accent. I can't figure it out.
This is getting weirder and weirder.
It's just getting weirder and weirder.
It sounds like a Pete Donaldson soundboard.
It's just getting weirder and weirder. Hey, Luke, did you see that little forwarding of a estate agent's listing in the... WhatsApp group.
Oh, no, I haven't clicked on it. Let me look at it now.
Have
you
a click on it.
You intro it and I'll have a
basically,
look at it.
Basically, there was, I don't know who owned this house, but they basically, I think they were trying to sell it as like a house that's dedicated to crypto and NFTs and stuff like that. And they put it on the market for like over like 1.2 million, I think. It's in North Hollywood, California. Hmm. And, built in 1952, just a normal kind of like wooden fucking big old Californian house. And they put it on for like 1.2 million. And they keep on having to sort of cut it because they've just created this absolutely monstrous bloody house. They've
crypto
called it the crypto house.
House
and they've got like big signs up saying crypto house. And all of like the hearths around the fireplaces.
One of the rooms is like, decorated with Twitter screenshots.
It's just kind of like they've sort of decorated it with like they've just made it look absolutely horrific. But they've got like loads of you know the crypto punks. They're like really shit NFTs with you've got the apes, you've got the crypto punks.
Yeah.
And they're kind of NFTs that have literally no artistic flair to them at all. They're just these modular, pixelated monstrosities. I mean, out of the shower of shit, which is the NFT space, even for them, I mean, it's absolutely atrocious. They've put Bitcoin signs on the wall. They've put like green fake grass inside the house in the bedrooms and stuff, which I'm not massively against, but it does make it look like an influencer house.
Why are you not against that?
I think it would feel really nice on the old... I've just seen the Twitter. I think it would feel really nice on the old feet. I've just noticed they've decorated with them. They've decorated one of the rooms with tweets. I wonder what those tweets are. I bet it's all about crypto and NFTs and stuff like that. And I've just going to the moon.
I've just clicked a box saying, no, I would not like a tour of this property.
It's just astonishing. But I just think, because you're obviously someone who's spent a bit, dropped a bit of coin on a recent refurbishment. Do you think you've missed out on doing something like this?
Well, the way I see it is like if it was like a complete car crash of a house and they were selling it super cheap because of that, like it's not the worst idea in the world to get it, because if you're
just paying a bit of wallpaper, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're paying way under the odds for bricks and mortar, then you do a refurb. I mean, you're gonna spend a fraction of the money you've saved refurbing it, and it's a bit of upheaval. It's a pain in the ass, and I'm living through that right now. But long term, I think it's a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
I've got no beef with it, mate.
You got no beef with it, but the actual design itself. Do you think you should put some of your best tweets? You could put that on the wall behind you. You could cover this the wall that you're in, the room that you're in now with your best tweets, most successful drops on Twitter.
Probably be the smallest wall. I'd have to. I don't think the thing is, this is a shame about this whole thing. I've been on Twitter for ages. And I don't think I can't think of a single tweet I've done where I've gone, that's a fucking really good tweet. Whereas you've done loads.
Right. What do you mean? As in what? You've never pressed send and you've thought, that's going to bang?
No, I have. Loads of times, but it never has.
I hate it. I think it's a hateful place. And every time I put a little thing out, it never bangs. And I go... I'm just a bit. It just sort of fortifies that I'm a bit of a fucking dickhead.
No, but I think every time I've got a theory about your output, and I think I've shared it before. Maybe not on this show though, so I'll share it again now. So you are really good, right? You're really creative. Your stuff's really good, and I personally really like it, which I guess is probably what's brought part of the reason it's brought us together. But the problem is, and it pissed me off when I realised this, because obviously it's affected my bottom line to quite a great extent. You're not mainstream.
Right.
So your shit never goes over. It never crosses over. You're almost like, I don't know, you're like talking heads. Like, you do enough to be able to get by, and you'll make some money and you'll sell some records and you'll do some crossover bits here and there, but you're never going to be accepted by the mainstream.
I think that it upsets me every time I post something on social media, and it's kind of like, I've not explained that. Every time I click send and nobody likes it, I always go... You'd not explain that. You've gone to that thinking that people have a lot of knowledge that they don't have, and you've not explained yourself. It's arrogance, if anything. It's arrogance. This bit you probably think the same way as me. You don't need this piece of information.
I think that you're that's not just Twitter though.
Yeah, that's just my life.
Generally.
But at least here I can ask. I mean, me tweeting, what was that song about? Hello Johnny, stop eating all the food. I would get a response, but it's not social media, is it? You're not adding anything to the conversation.
You'll get will just be from hot and horny singles in your area.
You do, whenever like you do, you're involved or CC'd in on a tweet that's from like a popular account, like Abroad in Japan or Football Ramble or whatever, like about a month later, you will get just weird sex bots kind of retweeting or replying or something. And
I think it's got much worse since Musk's.
Probably. There's probably something to be said for that. They've turned all the third-party API access off, haven't they? But, you just sort of think these women that they've used the photographs for, they're out there.
Yeah.
They're there. Like, you know, so that's somebody's life that, you know, obviously they've presumably put those pictures out there on the internet, but, like, they're not tracking their picture getting used all over the gaff. It's mad.
Oh, I assumed that the photos would just be from... stock images that you agree to get paid to pose for, and then you just sign your rights away.
Yeah, just steal them, don't they? Just got woman, tiny waist, big boobs.
But that does happen though, right? People do that, right?
Well, like stock images. Yeah, people use stock images. Yeah, definitely. But like, I don't think a bot farm really gives a shit about intellectual property.
Well, that's probably fair. Yeah. Speaking of nothing like this at all. But you mentioned earlier, this is how ridiculous my brain is. Earlier on, you mentioned the word mustache. And I watched the first season of White Lotus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Fine. Have you seen it?
I've not seen the first season, I've seen the second season.
Oh, okay, because I didn't realise they were standalone, so I think I might have had a bit of a pop at you last time when you said that, but they're standalone scenes. Like, the first season's really, really good, and
right.
The guy who runs the hotel has got an amazing moustache. He's a brilliant character. It's a really good series, by the way.
Yeah, I should go back and watch it. I'm trying to think who's in it. I can't remember.
Well, season one's got Alexandra Daddario in it. It's got Sydney Sweeney in it. It's got one or two others. Jennifer Coolidge is in it. And she's in season two as well.
Yes.
Christopher Moltisanti, which is always great to see.
With Coolidge, I've only just recently figured out the joke.
What do you mean?
In every role I've ever seen her, she kind of plays similar characters where she's like a bit broken and she does disappointed very well and stuff like that.
She's a character actor, isn't she?
But it's one character, and I just thought that she was just a bit of like, you know, an older kind of glamorous woman kind of vibe. And I didn't realise she was like, she did 10 years in the fucking Footlings. Is it Footlings? No, Groundlings. It's like she's a proper... studied. I just thought she was playing the same character every time, but like she's in on the fucking joke, and she's found a bit of a niche, and she does that pretty much every time. But she's got proper fucking chops, and I didn't give her the time of day. Really, I didn't realise that she was so well.
Why do you think you didn't respect her?
I don't know. I just thought it was just kind of like, because I think the first time I saw her, she was doing Stifler's mom, and you know Stifler's mom is kind of the same character as White Lotus, and probably I haven't seen her in many versatile roles, but I maybe just haven't sort of run into her a lot, but I didn't realise she was a real comedy actor that knew what was going on. I just thought she was like just playing the same character every time.
When people act to the level where they're in that kind of thing, they do tend to know what's happening, though.
Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not just like
I've just got no respect for actors.
I'm making shit up as we go along. they are actually doing it, I think. I thought the first season was really good. I kind of felt like it was. I don't know about if I'm explaining myself well, but it felt obviously it's got a bit of the Wes Anderson about it. But
yeah. Okay.
I also felt a bit like it was gonna turn really sinister, but it never actually did. And it is sinister in its own way. It's kind of like white supremacist, kind of wealthy people kind of way. I get the obvious kind of overtones. But I also didn't realise that it's written, directed, created by the guy who plays Ned Schneebly in School of Rock.
Well, I didn't see that one coming either.
Do you know the guy who plays the kind of henpecked boyfriend of Sarah Silverman in School of Rock, who Jack Black's character impersonates?
Luke, I've never seen School of Rock.
What? It's a classic.
Is it?
It's
is
a
it
real
really?
Classic, mate.
It's a real classic.
Honestly, there will be listeners all over the country and indeed the world recoiling at that news. Come on. It's a great movie. Really good. I bloody enjoyed season one. I shall definitely indulge in season two, although I haven't yet. But I realise that it's like the same type of thing, but just set in a different place with different characters, which is interesting. Pete, I was going to say to you, did you see this story about that one of Italy's top mafia bosses caught after 30 years on the run?
Oh, no. What did he look like? I want to see this. Where's this?
Well, this is the thing. It's disappointing because normally they get a lot of plastic surgery done, don't they?
Yes.
And so he was arrested at a private health clinic in, I think, Palermo in Sicily. He's been on the run since, I think, 1992. Matteo Messina Denaro, his name is. And he... was wanted for obviously a load of different crimes, but when he was arrested, he had like a hat like yours on actually, and then sunglasses and a jacket up high, so you couldn't really tell what he looked like.
That's a shame.
But I just thought to myself, he's basically what they do. These guys is they live almost in the community, and everyone in the community knows who they are, but no one will say, no one will kind of, you know what I mean, no one will kind of rat them out basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought to myself, it's quite a... At what point does it become? I know for them it's a game to be won and all the rest of it. But at what point, 30 years looking over your shoulder, it's quite a tough thing to do, right?
Maybe it's just like a big relief when it actually happens, like pulling off that plaster, the thing that you've thought about all of your life, and then you're in a situation where someone fingers your collar, so to speak, and you're done, really.
Yeah, there'd definitely be an element of relief to it, I think.
But you got something, are you still, once you were kind of compromised and the police are looking out for you, like, can you still run your network? Can you still kind of like...
Apparently he still was.
Right, okay. So you can still make a bit of cash.
Apparently, they seized assets related... I mean, this is a while ago now, they seized assets that essentially are linked to him of about $1.4 billion a while
back.
Right,
okay.
And the quirkiest part of the story is that obviously Italian authorities have been trying to get hold of this guy for such a long time, one of the most wanted men in the world. Like a couple of his family members have been arrested back in the day. One of his associates was arrested, I think, 10 or so years ago. But there weren't hardly any photos of him. They were going on like digital composites to try and reconstruct what he actually looked like. And then apparently in September of 2021, a man was arrested in the Netherlands at gunpoint by Italian police in an operation with Dutch authorities, who just turned out to be a Formula One fan from Liverpool on holiday.
What, who looked like the composite?
I think they just thought he looked like him. Yeah. Imagine that for an experience on your holiday.
That would really, you get a book out of it, wouldn't you? Messina Denaro, nicknamed Diabolique.
Yeah, named after an Italian comic book character, apparently.
Well, presumably, Diabolique is I've just realised, so Diabolical, would that be something connected to Diablo?
The devil, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I think, that name's out and about now, because he's under lock and key, so I think I'm going to be... I don't have a middle name. Pete Diabolique Donaldson.
Diggory. You've got Diggory.
Diggory. All right. Pete Diggory Diabolique Donaldson.
Do you reckon, the thing is about that, obviously he's been, been suspected of and no doubt involved in all sorts of horrific crimes. I mean, some of the stuff I read that he'd been sort of linked with is truly horrific, like the worst stuff you can think of. But I'm not defending it, but being that disciplined about being on the run for that amount of time, there's not. I don't reckon there's many people that could do that.
No,
like, if you watch that Channel 4 show, Hunting.
Just look at the whole. Look at the performance. Like, he's the only one who's managed it, I think, surely.
I think there are other people who. There's a list on Wikipedia. I was looking at it earlier of criminals that have never been caught. And there are some that have been around, but then I suppose maybe they could have died and no one talked about it or whatever. But like, my point being that, to be genuinely in hiding, of course you need a network of people loyal to you, which you obviously would have had.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have to essentially think about every single move all the time. And on the flip side of that, the guy who wrote Gomorra, the book, Roberto Saviano, he basically lives a life now, I think even now, years on, where he has to like move every 3 nights or something. He's got a full detail, security detail around the clock. He can't go to certain events because he thinks the Camorra are still trying to kill him. Like the levels to this are crazy. And I think if you're on the run for that amount of time, you've got to be flawless, basically. You've got to be so disciplined. I just don't think you or I could anywhere near do that.
I'm looking at a list of criminals who've never been caught. And you know, this is a funny little show. We dick about and somebody like, The Jack the Ripper, it's like Charlie Chopoff. That's an interesting. Oh God, yeah, that's horrific. And that's why I never understand how true crime podcasts can have those kind of like, kind of funny podcasts about some fucking horrific crimes.
Yeah.
And then and kind of having their cake and eat it a little bit. It's quite difficult, isn't it? It's
good. Yeah, I think I find that some of them are very unsavory, which is why I was pretty. Happy when we did the interruption, because that's it is essentially a crime.
No one's died.
Being committed. Yeah, but it's not. There's even a quite successful podcast, isn't there, called My Favourite Murder, where they basically just talk about their favourite murders that have happened. It's a bit like, I'm not sure. It's not something I would like to do, put it that way.
I watched that little documentary about, hitchhiker from something like 10 years ago? He was a hitchhiker, and he was interviewed on the news after this bloke had gone a bit wacky.
And he went mental with his depression.
And he went mad and started trying to kill these people. And this hitchhiker bashed him in the head with a mallet or an axe, like a little mini axe or something. And soon afterwards, he was arrested for the murder of a man. But he was this really charismatic kind of homeless kid who was just like...
I remember that. He was like a surfer dude type guy.
He's like a surfer dude. He used to ride the rails and stuff and do, you know, just hang out and go surfing and drink and stuff. And he was like the darling of America for about a couple of weeks, and then he was arrested for the murder of some bloke. It was like, wow, that was a really quick turnaround.
Is he known online as Kai the Hatchet Wielding Hitchhiker?
Kai the Hatchet Wielding, yeah, that guy, Hitchhiker, yeah. And he was like, and the whole documentary is about him, about this one lucky then sports reporter for a local, I think, Fox affiliate or NBC or something. And he manages to get this kid to get the first interview and the only interview. And he's the only person who can get hold of this kid who's obviously transient in his movements. And obviously he's the darling. He's this kind of like charismatic kind of like, Californian kid. And so all the TV stations want him, you know, reality TV show want a bit of Kai, the hatchet wielding.
Yeah, he was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, and so part of the story is them just getting him in to do Jimmy Kimmel, and it was just sounds like it's an absolute like maniac, absolutely, you know, clearly got massive issues, but because he's got quite a sunny disposition and it's quite good for a little TV interview, he everyone was just looking for him to make a load of money and be the next big thing, but he didn't fancy that, and it turns out he'd killed a bloke.
He's doing 57 years in prison for murdering a 73-year-old man.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, for anybody who's seen that documentary, it was an interesting dynamic about how Kai the hitchhiker managed to find his way into some old boy's house. I'm just saying, I can understand why he's behind bars. I'm just not exactly sure. 73 years. Is commensurate with what seems to have gone on.
Like 57 years know. He's doing.
It just seemed like an interesting dynamic. Ex-judge taking a young man off the streets when there's so many homeless people in California. Takes him off the streets, takes him round his house. It just seemed a bit like you can't kill a man. Yeah, but I mean, you don't know what happened or was accused to have happened. What Kai said happened. Exactly.
No, I'm going to watch the documentary because that sounds right up my street.
It's interesting.
It sounds bloody interesting.
But these guys and gals who have their 5 minutes of fame within, you know, it seems like it's the time frame seems to get shorter and shorter. You'll ultimately find out something about them that's way less palatable than what you would put on Jimmy Kimmel, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of I can't really think of another story like that. Obviously, when you first started telling the story, I thought you were talking about there's a guy who, and I can't remember the detail of this, but there was a guy who did, or a woman maybe, who did an impression of what apparently happened to her husband, say, in this random murder in a car in a lay-by in England somewhere.
Right.
And there was something about the way she did the impression, I believe, which meant the detective was like, hang on a fucking minute. And they started investigating her. It turned out she was convicted and she was guilty of the crime.
All right, okay.
That's what I thought you were talking about at the start, but obviously I do remember this guy now. And the thing is, you can almost understand why they wanted to get a piece of him, all these entertainment people, because he's so charismatic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was an absolute dream. I remember sort of seeing him and going, like, he was up there with that guy, you know, that surfer who was going, pow, pow, pow. Remember, he did that interview and he's like going,
yeah.
And I was up there and he was like, pow, pow.
Yeah, yeah.
The pow, 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 pow guy, you know.
But I've often said this on this show, like, in the US, it's very clear that they know, like, you go to the US and you want to do your Vox Pop or something. You won't have to wait long before you find someone who is absolutely brilliant on camera or on mic. Like, everything feels like it's an extension of the entertainment industry in the US, whether it's politics or law or sport or whatever. Mm. It's almost like growing up in an environment where entertainment is so prevalent breeds these characters. I've done so many Vox Pops as a young kind of student or whatever around England and in the town I grew up and stuff like that. It's impossible to find anyone who even wants to talk to you, let alone anyone who's got any charisma to actually pull something off. But in America, they seem to be everywhere.
Yeah, would you ever get involved in a Vox Pop? Would you ever kind of be in a situation where someone's in the street and asks you a question?
No.
I mean, No, I would happily just walk past and go, no thanks.
Yeah, so it happened the most recent time it happened to me is when I told you I was on that plane, that flight to Boston, and a woman tried to open the door on the flight.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So she got detained, and then because it had like a week after some terrorist incident, they wondered if it was linked. So all the Northeast New England press were at the arrivals when I landed. There was loads of those. It's almost like a cliche thing, but there was loads of people with a microphone, with loads of makeup on their face, and a camera person with them. And they were interviewing people about it, and they tried to interview me. But I had just seen my now wife for the first time in a long time, and I was like, oh, I'm not fucking interested in this. I want to go and find my wife. So, or my girlfriend, as it was at the time. And so
I would have dubbed her in. That's it, it was her.
Yeah.
She was absolutely out of her tree.
She wasn't on the flight, though, so it would have been the perfect crime.
Let's do it anyway.
Anyway, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we've got an email or two to do, and we should do them because they're backing up in the inbox. So we'll see you on the other side of this.
All right, then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back with the Luke and Pete Show, and we've got emails. I'm going to say hello to Dulta. Hello, Dulta. A man who paints houses is the title of this email. Hi, lads. Long time, first time from Dublin. Just listening to your most recent podcast suggesting that getting professionals in is the best for painting the house. Well, let me tell you. I thought I hired a painter to paint the house, but what I got was a man who paints houses. A mafia reference there. Apparently, we were getting ready to sell our home and figured that we should repaint the interior and all the exterior. Front exterior is an anthracite grey, steady. Sidewall had been painted. The specific RAL colour was 7004. So I hired this guy through a popular handyman site. He came out and we handed him the previous paint tins that were half full, paint names fully visible, and said, "If you need more paint, lad, there's the names, all good." So we get a call to say, all done, come and have a check, and then you can send over the rest of the cash. So we rock up to the house and immediately see there's a massive colour difference between the side of the house and the front. So we go inside and that is all good, no problems there. So I text the guy and said, listen, that's all great, but it looks like you've got the wrong colour for the side. In fact, here's a picture of the paint tin that you used. It's called Jack Black. I'll send you the money for the interior, but can you just come and sort the side out, please? This is where things go more man who paints houses. What follows are a series of increasingly threatening texts ranging from the bizarre, well, this is what the accountant is for, to insisting I come down to the house to show him the different colour, and also general questions about my manhood and manliness. At one stage, she simply texted me back my mother's home address we were staying with.
What?
Eventually, we agreed to meet at the house, which I wasn't really enthusiastic about, to show him the different paint cans. He insisted it was still the same can. So myself and my wife arrive earlier than planned and have a look. Lo and behold, the two paint cans, old and new, have matching names. But that can't be right. I've got a photo right here of the label on the old can, which we'd sent him before handing over. I look close at the old can of paint and notice there's a faint hint that it's a sticker over a sticker. That my wife begins to slowly peel off the outer layer and the old RAL 7004 sticker is revealed. I'm elated. This is it. We have him. He tried to purposefully deceive us. Then it dawned on both of us. This lunatic tried to purposefully deceive us. Get the fuck out of the house right now. So we scarper, not wanting to meet our maker. We bump into a friend outside who offers to hang around with us. We do, and we eventually meet the guy who still blindly desires it all, then goes into a spin sting. We stuck the second sticker over. Eventually, still not wanting to get murdered, I agree to pay him a portion of the remainder, so he'll simply fuck off. Thanks to the podcast, lads. Keeps things interesting in work. Dulta. Now, they attached a picture of the house. And, yeah, I mean, the side of the house does look like a very different shade to the front of the house. Is that fair to say, Lukey Moore?
I don't really know what I'm supposed to be looking at.
I think, so the front of the house is kind of like a grey.
Yeah.
And then the side of the house is your old Jack Black.
But that's just a shadow, isn't it?
Could be, but it sounds, I mean, it sounds like the preceding email has detailed that they're not happy with the
I fully understand that Dulta isn't happy with the work.
Yeah.
And I also don't think the painter showered himself in glory either for this behaviour.
I think if you're... Why did he do it? I mean, could he not just go, I can't find that pen?
Yeah.
Don't just fucking stop. You've done all the work. You've done the hard work.
It's
why
not like,
be a weirdo about it?
It's not like you're going to cover it up with something else, is it? It's the side of outside of a house. Like, so they're going to check it probably, aren't they?
Yeah. But like, I will say that you've got a lovely front of your house. You've got these big kind of like, what do you call those kind of like big stable doors or a big kind of like, you park your car in there? I can't really tell, to be honest, but it's a great bit of work.
It's a nice colour. I actually think it's a very nice colour for the outside of a house. I'm talking about the front of it. I'm not trying to wind up Dulta, who I understand is not very happy with the side of the house. It's got a lovely light pink door. I think it looks nice. But listen, ultimately, if you're not happy with the work and he's not followed the instructions, then, you know, I understand the desire to not want to be murdered. So whatever the negotiation was, I'm sure they're perfectly content with. But, you know, you have got to really check the person's references before they do it. Like, the guy who's doing my, the decorated my house inside, he's also decorated a friend of mine's house and it looks amazing. So that's the reference I went for.
Yeah, indeed.
But listen, you live and learn, Dulta. I'm sure you won't make the same mistake again. There's lots of dads listening to this show right now who are going, just paint it yourself. Just do it yourself. And if it goes wrong, you've got no issues. You've saved yourself a bit of money. You've got no one to blame but yourself. Would you paint the outside of a house, Peter?
I mean, I find painting very, very boring. But as long as I had the right tools, like a little frame or something, like the right ladder. As long as you've got the right ladder, I think you're pretty sorted. And one of those really long rollers. But I don't know how high the ladder would have to go for me to mask out the awnings and the.
It's also the public nature of the work. If you're doing that and it's say a few days' work, you're out there every day. Every single neighbour's going to see you and going to know that you did it.
Yeah, exactly. If it's an absolute shit job, I did some plastering last week, and hard on anything.
They are absolutely the proper good plasterers are artisans, aren't they?
Yeah, they
have. You
really
seen
are.
Them? They
really
work are. So fast and so brilliantly. Yeah. It looks so good at the end.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah, my advice would be to hire one
to get it looking like a proper wall.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm terrible at that kind of stuff. So I feel your pain. All right, let's get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday with some more of this. We've got some more batteries to get through as well. We've got some excellent emails and some stories for you. So we'll look forward to that. Thank you very much for listening today, Peter. Anything to add from you?
No, I want to go.
Okay,
bye.
Let's go. See you later.
See ya.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.